Hello, and happy Resurrection Sunday. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. It's a joy to be bringing God's word to you once more. I'm Jesse Wolls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. As we focus our attention on the glorious news that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and as we think about what that means for us now, I pray you'll be blessed and encouraged. And if you're not a Christian, I pray you would come to know that this really is true. Today we'll be looking at Luke 23, verse 50, through to chapter 24, verse 12. As you get that ready, I'm going to pray, read the passage, and then we'll hear from Beck with the kids' talk. So if you have some kids with you, make sure they're listening. And then it'll be back to me with the sermon as we focus a bit more deeply on the passage. And so let's pray. Our Lord and God, we worship and praise you for this glorious day. While we're to remember Christ's resurrection always, and while every Sunday, every Lord's Day is a reminder to us that Jesus is risen, we rejoice that we have this day in particular to remember and celebrate. As we look to your word now, make our hearts ready to listen and believe. By your Spirit, fill us with faith and hope, joy and peace. Give us understanding and help us to see how this news should impact us now. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Saviour. Amen. Luke chapter 23, verse 50, through to chapter 24, verse 12. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and to be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose, and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marvelling at what had happened. And now it's over to Beck and the children's talk.
Hi everyone, my name is Beck from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. I'm here again with my kids, Kai, Ellie and Hannah. Say hi guys!
Hi!
I'd like to chat with you guys today about the meaning behind the things that we see or hear every day. So I've got a few common signs here to show you, and I want you guys to tell me what it means when we see these things or when we hear these things. See, if we miss the meaning behind something, we're going to miss something really important. Your question is, what does it mean? Here's your first clue. What is that?
A doorbell.
What does it mean?
That someone's at your house.
That's right.
Someone's at your door.
Yeah, somebody's at your door. Maybe they've got something to give you, or maybe they've come to visit. That's right. There's a meaning behind it. Now, your next clue is delicious, fruity, spicy smells coming from the kitchen.
Food.
Food, yeah.
But you should...
Fruity and spicy and Easter time.
Easter egg. Hot cross
buns. Hot cross buns. That's right. It means that Mum's cooking hot cross buns and they're nearly ready. Good. Now, this sign here, what does this mean?
Stop. It's a stop sign and it says railway crossing as well.
That's right. What does it mean?
Stop. You can't go the other way. You have to go stop, the other way.
Like give way.
It means stop because something is in front of you. Do you know what it is?
A person? Like a train.
A train. A train is in front, or a railway crossing is in front of you, so you need to stop to be careful. It's a warning, isn't it? It's very important that you know the meaning behind this sign so you don't get squashed by a train. All right, what about this one? Ready? Listening? This. When Kai comes to us and does that, what does it mean?
That he's finished a book.
That's exactly right. Whenever Kai finishes a book, he comes to us and he slams the book shut to show us that he's finished it. Very good. See, things have meanings behind them, and we need to know what the meanings are. Now, on Easter Sunday, we remember something really important. What do we do? What do we remember?
That Jesus died upon the cross to save us from our sin.
That he rose again.
And that he rose again. Perfect, Ellie. Well done. On Friday, we remember that Jesus died on the cross, a cruel, horrible death. But it was a really good day because we learned that Jesus died in our place so that we could live forever and be friends with God again. On the Sunday, 3 days later, we remember that the tomb where Jesus has been buried was
empty.
Empty.
It was empty because Jesus was alive again. There's a big word to describe that. It's called the resurrection of Jesus.
Resurrection.
Resurrection. That's right.
Resurrection.
Resurrection.
Now, the empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus are signs to us. So we need to ask ourselves, what does it mean? And I've got four important things that the resurrection of Jesus should tell us to make sure we're understanding why the empty tomb is so important. Can you pull the first one out, Hannah, and give it to Kai to read? Kai, can you read that out for us? Nice and loudly and clearly.
The resurrection means that we can be sure of what will happen to all people who trust in Jesus' death on the cross.
Absolutely. The resurrection means that we can be sure of what will happen to us all if we trust in Jesus. See, if God raised Jesus to life again, then we can be certain that everyone who follows him and who lives with Jesus as King will also be raised back to life again. We will have life forever with God, just like Jesus has life forever with God. Ellie, can you grab the next one?
And give it to her.
And give it to Kai so that he can read it out.
The resurrection means that Jesus' sacrifice for our sins really worked.
That's exactly right. The resurrection means that Jesus' sacrifice for sins really worked. See, in the Old Testament, the Jews needed to sacrifice animals to be forgiven for their sins. But really, none of those sacrifices really worked. They all pointed forward to the day that Jesus would really be the true sacrifice for sins, and that his sacrifice would really work. Jesus' death really did pay the price for our sins. So Jesus was brought back to life. Can I grab another one of those?
The resurrections showed that Jesus was God's son.
Absolutely, that's a big one. The resurrection showed that Jesus was God's son. No other man that has ever lived has been perfect or sinless. Jesus was the only one who was perfect, and because he is the only son of God, he's the only man who didn't deserve to die. So when he did die, God raised him back to life again, proving that he was God's son. Last one, number four.
Let's see. The resurrection means that we have a living king to follow now.
That's right.
It's really important.
It means that we don't live for somebody who is dead and buried and has no power anymore. Instead, we live for a king and follow a king who still rules and is still in control and is still able to help us and judge us and lead us in all good ways. There's no point in following a dead king. We get to follow a king who is alive and who will never die again and who will never stop being the king. These are really important meanings behind the empty tomb that we remember at Easter. We don't just want to remember that the tomb was empty and that Jesus is alive. We want to remember what it means. It means that Jesus' sacrifice really worked and our sins have really been forgiven. It means that Jesus was God's son. It means that Jesus, the king, will never die and will always be the king to help us and lead us. Finally, it means that we can be sure of what will happen to us if we trust in Jesus. We too will be raised back to life and will live forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Easter. Thanks that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. Thank you that you raised Jesus back to life again and that he is now the living king of the whole world who will never, ever die. Please help us to trust in Jesus' death on the cross and to live with Jesus as our king. Amen.
How many times have you been left with a sinking feeling of despair because you've been left with no hope? Sometimes the situation is trivial in the grand scheme of things. It's 5 minutes until the end of the game and your footy team is down 40 points. You want to keep hoping, but you know that there's no way they can make that. But sometimes it's not so trivial. It's looking at the entrance score for the uni course you're trying to get into, knowing it's beyond you on your best day. It's your boss giving you a call, telling you the company can't afford to keep you on. It's the doctor telling you the bad news of your condition. Hopelessness is one of the most natural feelings in the world when it comes to death. Death is final. Yes, there have been some advances in medicine, with the introduction of CPR and machines which send an electric shock to the heart to kick-start it again. But most of the time, death is death. And when someone's died, our hopes for them die too. But this is Easter Sunday. This is a day for hope and life and joy, wonder and peace. Why? Because it's a nice holiday where the government has made a random decree, this is the day everyone will have hope? No. Christians are people who have hope, true and living hope, not just because someone told them to have hope, not because they're ignorant of the realities of life, or they're gullible and willing to believe anything about the future as long as it sounds good. Christians have hope because Jesus is risen. We have hope because Jesus is risen. That's the main point of this passage. In these verses, we're confronted with a reality that no one in the world expected. No one believed it would happen. But it did. Something radically changed the nature of our world so that even death has to bow the knee to hope instead of squashing it under its feet. And so let's turn to our first heading, chapter 23, verses 50 to 56, dead and buried. Jesus had been crucified, his clothing gambled over. He was mocked by the religious leaders and the soldiers. He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. Even one of the criminals crucified with him mocked him. And while the middle of the day became as dark as night, after the curtain in the temple had torn in two, chapter 23, verse 46 says, "Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last." Verse 49 then gives us another tragic picture. Already we've seen the cross with a dead Christ. Now, verse 49, all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Imagine the despair of that moment. The cross. The cry. The silence. All their hopes had been built up in this man, and now they're all dashed, and nothing can bring that hope back. It's all over. Death has had the last word. And while the physical darkness had now gone, the emotional darkness continues as we follow what happens to Jesus' body. Verse 50 introduces us to Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the council, the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jews. That council had brought Jesus to Pilate, wanting him put to death. But it looks like Joseph wasn't at that council meeting. See what it says about him, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. Joseph asks for the body, wraps him in a shroud, and places him in a tomb. And see verse 55, the women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. In all of this, there's no hope that Jesus is still alive. You still get some people thinking that Jesus didn't really die on the cross, he just fainted. You've really got to think people 2,000 years ago were stupid to think that. These people weren't strangers to death. They were around death much more than we are. Not many of us have been confronted with a dead body before. Death is quickly taken away from us by the professionals. It's cleaned, embalmed, dressed, and placed in a coffin without the loved ones ever needing to see the body again. Think of how rare it is for us to have a funeral with an open casket anymore. I've spoken to a funeral director who said they discourage open caskets, and if the family insists, they have warnings at the front of the building so people can prepare themselves. We've all seen who knows how many movie and TV dead bodies, but none or almost none in real life. But that wasn't the case in the first century. They were used to death. Certainly the soldiers who killed Jesus were used to death. They knew what it looked like. And as they took him down from the cross, removed the nails, dragged him around, wrapped him in linen, moved him to the tomb, carried him into it, there was no sign of life. He was dead and now buried. But now we move on to chapter 24, verses 1 to 11, unexpected good news. Jesus had been buried late Friday, and the women who'd followed and saw where he was buried spent the Friday night and Saturday resting for the Sabbath. And then, verse 1, on the first day of the week, at early dawn, They went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. I've never been to a funeral where I thought the dead person would start knocking on the coffin, asking to be let out. I don't know anyone else who has either. At my grandmother's funeral, we talked about her, remembering her, but there was no sense of anticipation. That lid wasn't going to come off and reveal a newly vibrant woman. These women weren't expecting to find anything but a dead body. They were expecting to anoint Jesus' body with spices and pack the linen with them to finish off the burial process that had to be rushed on the Friday afternoon before the Sabbath. When they saw the stone rolled away from the tomb, they went in expecting to see the body, but not finding it. And suddenly two men appear. Verse 4, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." If it wasn't obvious from their dazzling clothing and the reaction of the women, we find out that these two men are angels from Matthew and John's Gospels, and also from verse 23 of this chapter. And these strange visitors bring with them a wonderfully strange message. But of course, it should have been expected. Jesus hadn't hidden the ball. He told them he was going to die and then rise. Maybe they'd thought he was speaking a riddle to them with metaphors. He was a teacher who used stories and parables, so it was possible. But no, he was speaking the plain truth. What a roller coaster these women must have been on. Through the time they'd been following Jesus, their expectations had been climbing and climbing moment by moment. Steadily and steadily, hope was growing, excitement was growing, as Jesus taught and performed miracles. How could he not be the one who was promised? And then he was arrested, and they found themselves leveling out. Then he was condemned to die, nailed to a cross, breathed his last, and their roller coaster of hopes and dreams came crashing down the mountain, not exhilarating, devastating. They were crushed by what they'd seen. And suddenly, they find themselves climbing the mountain of hope once more. Now they've received news that God's raised Jesus from the dead. Why is that so important? Not only because their friend and teacher was back, but because God had kept his promise. God had promised King David that he'd have a son who'd always sit on his throne. Solomon was on the throne for a while, but then he died. And so did Rehoboam. And all the Davidic kings, they all died. But Jesus has come back from death. Now he can reign forever because death can't stop him. The dream of God's kingdom has finally begun to come true in Jesus. And we see in the part 2 of Luke, the book of Acts, what that kingdom looks like. It's the church, growing as the word of Jesus spreads and people repent and believe. So the women race to the disciples, who think they've lost their minds. Again, a resurrection was the last thing on people's minds right now. The disciples weren't expecting it. They weren't the gullible stooges so many seem to think they were. They knew, just like we do, that dead people don't rise. We've seen Jesus dead and buried. We've seen unexpected good news. And now, in verse 12, we come to marvelling at the tomb. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marvelling at what had happened. Something's happened, and Peter's not sure what it is yet, but he's marvelling, or other translations have that he was amazed or wondering about what had happened. See, the penny hasn't dropped yet. He's not sure what's going on, what to think of this news, but he knows it's important. He knows something's happened. Can you appreciate why it would be so hard for Peter and the rest of the disciples to accept this news from the women that Jesus was risen? Since after the first sin of Adam and Eve, death had reigned. Now, yes, there were a few cases where death had been cheated in the Old Testament. But in that history of about 4,000 years, you could count those times on one hand. People just didn't rise from the dead. It's not normal. There's no use in hoping for it. But still, Peter ran to the tomb. He knew that something must have happened, even if he wasn't sure that he could trust what the women were saying yet. Now, as we continue through the chapter, we meet the risen Jesus. The message of the angels and the predictions of Jesus were true. We see the disciples all come to believe that Jesus really was alive. But what does all this mean for us 2,000 years later? It means we have hope, because Jesus is risen. But how does Jesus rising from the dead give us hope now? What does this mean for us, we who might be looking at the statistics and seeing the panic around the world and hearing of the increasing restrictions of movement in Victoria and Australia? What can Jesus' resurrection say to that? Lee Strobel, in his book The Case for Christ, interviewed a professor, Gary Habermas, about the resurrection. After all these scholarly questions were done, he asked another question. He asked why it was important that Jesus rose. His answer wasn't highly intellectual. It was personal. Because Jesus rose, that meant his wife, who'd died a few years earlier, would also rise. His resurrection is the answer to suffering, the answer to death. Death isn't the end for us who believe, it's only the beginning. Paul says that Jesus is the first fruits, the guarantee of our resurrection. We have hope in the face of death, and Jesus is the proof of it. If he rose, we'll rise. And that means death holds no power over us, no cause for fear. As death tolls rise, as health declines, as hair goes grey, death has no power to terrify the Christian. Because if you trust in him, you're united to him. If you're united to him, you can trust that what happens to him will happen to you. He rose, you'll rise. Come to the tomb, see it's empty, and marvel. But not a confused marvelling like Peter. Peter wasn't sure what was going on. But you do. Marvel and rejoice, because the Son of Man is on his throne. He was raised as king. And one day, the last and great enemy of death will be destroyed, and all those in Christ will be raised to everlasting life. We have hope because Jesus is risen. Because he's risen, we'll be raised. Are you trusting in that, in this time of panic? Are you able to rejoice in your hearts even while you're stuck at home? The day of resurrection is coming, when all God's people are raised from death, when all suffering and pain and sin is removed, when the curse from God's creation will be lifted, when this creation will be radically transformed and renewed, more glorious than ever. Christians have hope because Jesus is risen. Have you placed your hope in this news? No other system of thought, no other religion offers you this hope based on the sure reality that Jesus is raised. If you'd like to ask questions about the resurrection and discover why you can trust it happened, please contact us through our website. Continue the conversation because God is offering you hope in this world of panic. But if, as you've been listening, you've come to believe in this glorious news, then let me urge you, pray and tell God that you believe, ask Him to forgive you and to give you this new everlasting life that can be found in Jesus, the risen King. And please do contact us, tell us that we can help you with your newfound faith. The good news is, for the Christian, even in time of crisis, we have hope because Jesus is risen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good news that Jesus is risen. Not only did he die to take away your anger and bring us forgiveness, but he rose, the eternal King who'd give everlasting life to his people. Remind us of this hope, this sure and solid hope we have through Jesus. He rose, guaranteeing that we who believe will rise. He rose, defeating death. We pray for those listening who haven't placed their trust in Christ, who haven't received this eternal, everlasting life. Please give them faith. Give them a new heart. Raise them to new life that they would believe and have this same living hope that we have. May Jesus, the everlasting King, Lord and Christ, be honoured by all. Amen. I'm Jesse Wolls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, wishing you a very happy Resurrection Sunday. May you be blessed as you celebrate that our King lives. If you'd like to get in contact with us, whether you have questions, you're looking for a church, or any other reason, you can contact us at our website, eaglehawkpc.org.au. God bless you.